disappear as a direct result of the way the takers compete outside the law. Now that you know there's a law involved, does it make a difference in the way you view what's going on? Yes, I no longer think of what we're doing as a blunder. We're not destroying the world because we're clumsy. We're destroying the world because we are, in a very literal and deliberate way, at war with it. Ishmael sighed. As you've explained, the community would be destroyed if all species exempted themselves from the rules of competition. But what would happen if only one species exempted itself? You mean other than man? Yes. Suppose you're a hyena. Why share the game with those lazy lions? It happens again and again. You kill a zebra, and a lion comes along, drives you off, and helps himself while you sit around waiting for the leavings. So you're fed up with them. What are you going to do about it? Exterminate the lions. And what's the effect of this? Well, there's more game for us. And when there's more game for you? I looked at him blankly. All right, I was assuming you knew the ABCs of ecology. In the natural community, whenever a population's food supply increases, that population increases. As that population increases, its food supply decreases. And as its food supply decreases, that population decreases. This interaction between food and feeders is what keeps everything in balance. Right, I did know it. So, with lions gone, there's more food for hyenas, and our population grows. It grows to the point where game becomes scarce, and then it begins to shrink. It would in ordinary circumstances, but you've changed those circumstances. You've decided the law of limited competition doesn't apply to hyenas. True. So we kill our other competitors. And after that, once again, our population grows until the game gets scarce. Let's see, there are no more competitors to kill off, so we have to increase the game population. How do we do that? Your game has competitors as well. Kill off these competitors, and there will be more grass for your game. Right, more grass for the game means more game. More game means more hyenas. More hyenas means... Now, what's left to kill? Let's see. We've killed off our competitors, and our competitors once removed. Now we can kill off our competitors twice removed. Plants that compete with the grass for space and sunlight. That's right. Then there will be more plants for your game and more game for you. It's funny, this is considered almost holy work by farmers and ranchers. Kill off everything you can't eat. Kill off anything that eats what you eat. Kill off anything that doesn't feed what you eat. It is holy work in taker culture, Ishmael said. The more competitors you destroy, the more humans you can bring into the world, and that makes it just about the holiest work there is. Once you exempt yourself from this law, everything in the world except your food and the food of your food becomes an enemy to be exterminated. So what have we discovered here? We've discovered that any species that exempts itself from the rules of competition ends up destroying the community in order to support its own expansion. Any species, including man? Yes, obviously, that's in fact what's happening here. So you see that this is not some mysterious wickedness peculiar to the human race. It isn't some imponderable flaw in man that has made you the destroyers of the world. No, the same would happen with any species, provided every increase in food supply produces an increase in population. Given an expanding food supply, said Ishmael, any population will expand. This is true of any species, including the human. The takers have been proving this here for 10,000 years. For 10,000 years, they've been steadily increasing food production to feed an increased population. And every time they've done this, the population has increased still more. A week ago, when we were talking about laws, you said there's only one kind about how people should live, the kind that can be changed by a vote. What do you think now? Can the law of limited competition be changed by a vote? No. Are you certain that any species that exempts itself from this law will end by destroying the community to support its own expansion? Yes. Then what have we discovered here? We've discovered a piece of certain knowledge about how people ought to live, must live. Knowledge that a week ago you said was unobtainable. Yes, though I don't see how to make this a source of knowledge in general. I mean, I don't see any way to apply this knowledge to other issues. Ishmael replied, The law we've outlined here enables species to live, enables species to survive, including the human. It won't tell you whether premarital sex is good or bad. It won't tell you whether capital punishment is right or wrong. It will tell you how to live if you want to avoid extinction. And that's the first and most fundamental knowledge anyone needs. True. Before we go on, Ishmael said, I want to clear up a misconception. You know your culture was born in an agricultural revolution that began about 10,000 years ago. That's right. How long did the revolution last? I said, I don't really know. It must have lasted a couple thousand years. Think. I thought, and after a while said, okay, it's strange that this isn't taught. It didn't end. It just spread. It's been spreading ever since it began, back there 10,000 years ago. It spread across this continent in the 18th and 19th centuries. It's still spreading across parts of New Zealand and Africa and South America today. Of course, he said. So you see that your agricultural revolution is not an event like the Trojan War, isolated in the distant past and without direct relevance to your lives today. The work begun by those Neolithic farmers in the Near East has been carried forward from one generation to the next without a break, right into the present moment. It's the foundation of your vast civilization today in exactly the same way that it was the foundation of the very first farming village. Yes, I see that. That's pretty amazing. This is why the story you tell your children about the meaning of the world, about divine intentions in the world, and about the destiny of man is of such importance to you. It's the manifesto of the revolution on which your culture is based. It's the repository of all your revolutionary doctrine and the definitive expression of your revolutionary spirit. It explains why the revolution was necessary and why it must be carried forward at any cost whatever. Yes, I said, that's quite a thought. About 2,000 years ago, Ishmael went on, an event of exquisite irony occurred within your culture. The Takers adopted as their own a lever story about their origins. A lever story about the origin of the Takers? That's right. Do I know this story? Oh, yes. Every Taker in the world knows it. I'll tell a story of my own, then you'll recognize it. Okay. There's a special knowledge you must have if